Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Live from the Game Nashville studios, it's time for Darren, Donick, and Chase. With hosts Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Chase McCabe. On Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Second hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on this Thursday morning. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. Don't forget, we've got our NFL Game of the Week this Sunday on 94.9. It's the Steelers and the Packers. Kickoff at 3:25. Pregame coverage begins at 2:45. Once again, Steelers-Packers, Sunday afternoon on 94.9. Kickoff at 3:25. On 94.9, and that Game of the Week is brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. We've got some Titans and Jets news you can use.
Yes, we do. It's been reported by Mike Garafolo of the NFL Network that the Titans are signing punter Johnny Townsend to their active roster. Brett Kern was limited on Wednesday with a right groin injury, according to the injury report. So they are going to be signing punter Johnny Townsend to the active roster. So that tells me the Titans could be without punter Brett Kern this week against the Jets.
Johnny Townsend punted in one game last year for Baltimore and punted a full season for the Raiders in 2018. So he's been one of those, I guess, fringe guys who's been, I would imagine, he's been just bouncing around practice squads or whatnot. So he does have some NFL experience.
Yeah, now the team hasn't confirmed this. I know Craig Aukerman's speaking right now and said did say that they worked out Johnny Townsend and that Kern is day-to-day. But again, just going off the report from the NFL Network.
Anything on the Jets side?
On the Jets side, they announced yesterday afternoon that they will be without the glue of their defense, safety Marcus May, for 3 or 4 weeks. So that means, if you take a look, they've lost both of their starting safeties.
Well, he's their best, isn't he?
Yes, and he's been rumored to want out. His agent has put out there, well, he'll be back before the trade deadline.
Okay.
Oh, thanks. Okay. We've heard this before. Good players for the Jets thinking they don't want to re-sign with the Jets. They'd like to go play somewhere else. They've got to fight that right now. The Jets.
Well, I don't have a problem with that. I don't.
The Jets have actually played pretty well on defense, considering how bad the offense has been. The offense has just been inept for the Jets. So if you're evaluating both sides of the ball, the defense has been okay. I mean more than okay. Now you look and say, what offenses have they played against? Well, they've played against the Broncos, the Panthers, and the Patriots. Not juggernaut offenses. And also they've been playing in games where they've been behind constantly. So the other team is just probably not taking a lot of chances. They're probably looking at it and saying, we don't think the Jets can score. So I don't know that we've found out a lot about the Jets' defense, but there's some optimism on the D. But now this is a tough blow, losing Marcus May. So on the other side of the ball, of course, as we talked to Rich Cimini about a couple of days ago, they've had all kinds of issues protecting Zach Wilson. So many things have gone wrong with the offense. There's not a lot of confidence there.
Well, they've got a key offensive lineman out too. So, I mean, they got a lot of injury. I mean, you know, this is what life in the NFL. This is how it works.
This is really a don't be that team. Yeah. Don't be the team that has the whole league going, how did that happen? Because, as we said, this is the NFL. As much as this looks like a mismatch on paper, the line still is sitting there at what? Is it much different than it was at the start of the week? 7.5? Has it changed at all?
Well, no, because I think the Titans have their fair share of injuries,
absolutely,
too.
Absolutely.
I mean, if A.J. Brown and Julio Jones don't play, that's kind of a big deal.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, and listen, I mean, even being without the punter is a big deal. We saw how that worked last year.
Of course. No doubt.
That was a disaster.
Disaster. There's no doubt. I mean, Brett Kern is up. He's been up there the best in the league for a long time.
Yeah.
But there's a lot to like about the matchups here. This is a team that's allowed 15 sacks in three games.
It's now seven.
So it's seven. So it's about, it hasn't changed much yet. Now we'll see how it moves, if it moves, etc.
That's a big line on the road. I mean, that's a big line in the NFL on the road for a road team.
I know, but it's seven. It's like we watch a lot of college football too. It's not 14, 7, as we said before. So I like the matchup. Landry has played really well. This is a big year for Harold Landry's career.
Yep.
He's off to probably his best start. Adini, I was listening to the Jets podcast. They really circled Adini as a guy that they were impressed with. And so he is giving them, it's like the Westbrook Akina. He stepped in and done well with A.J. Brown out, with Julio Jones missing a lot of snaps. Adini's done the same thing with Dupree not being available. He stepped in there and played as well as he's probably ever played. So can they continue getting more pass rush? Is this becoming more of a thing where every week you can start to raise your expectations about the Titans' pass rush? This is going to be an important week. They should be able to get after the Jets. The other thing that Zach Wilson is getting very heavy criticism for, also under the umbrella of he's a rookie and he's been under attack. They don't have anything around him. He's holding the ball. So when you hold the ball a little longer, you're susceptible to sacks.
Yep.
And so they have pinpointed that about half of the 15 sacks are plays where he's holding the ball longer that he should hold it. But that's the rookie dilemma sometimes, right? You get thrown coverages. You're not quite sure. Is somebody open? Let me hold it an extra second. The extra second costs you. And then, in fairness to Zach Wilson, the other part that's going wrong, of course, this is a team they're averaging 6.6 points.
Yeah.
So a lot of things are going wrong. A lot of criticism for Corey Davis. He didn't drop the ball very much last year. He had a great year in terms of efficiency. The stat they threw out there was, he had about four drops last year. Of course, there's debate on what's a drop, what's not, right? You and I could to watch the same play, and you could say that's a drop. I could say, no, that's not a drop.
Right.
That's a tough catch. But Davis has already surpassed the drops he had last year. He's got about five. So they need better receiver play. They think that Zach Wilson probably should have a higher completion percentage. He hasn't really had good luck there. There's also some wonder, will they have Jamison Crowder back? And you say, well, he's not a big deal. But he helps. He's a veteran guy. They've got some injury issues there, too. He hasn't played yet. They might be able to get him back.
When you look at their wide receiver core, no, that's kind of a big deal.
I mean, they put a lot of money. They brought in a lot of guys. They brought in Corey Davis.
Well,
they brought in
Keelan
Cole. They still have Crowder. They drafted Elijah Moore. So they're hoping for a big upgrade there, and it hasn't really happened.
So on their injury report yesterday, Moore and Jeff Smith, wide receivers, were out with concussions. They did not practice. Crowder was limited with the groin.
The tight end wasn't – Croft wasn't on there?
Croft was limited with the rib. Mm-hmm. And then, as you mentioned earlier, Marcus May didn't practice. So
That's a big one.
Yeah.
If he's out, that's a big one.
They also haven't really run it well to support him. They have been behind.
No, they have no running game.
Well, they haven't really been able to try to run because they're behind, and they've sort of abandoned. They only ran the ball like 13 times last week and not very effectively.
I'll say that I'll stand by that if ever there was a week that you had to deal with a lot of injuries, this is the one. But that doesn't mean that, you know, anything is given. And I think there's no room for error. I mean, the guys that are going to be asked to play, you know, if AJ's out, if Julio's out, if Kern's out, I mean, Taylor Lewan was listed on the injury report with a toe. He didn't practice yesterday.
Yeah, so that is that a new thing?
He hadn't shown up with that, you know, until now. Murchison didn't practice with an elbow. And then you had Fulton, Saffold, Tier Tart, Jayon Brown,
Firkser back.
Firkser was back. Jayon Brown was back. But then Tart, Saffold, Fulton, Murchison they were limited.
Right. We'll see what happens in the next couple of days. We say every Wednesday. You can't panic on the Wednesday report.
There's too many names to work through. I mean,
there's a long list.
You look at the Titans injury report, and it's doubled what the Jets have right now.
There's a lot of matchups that look really good for the Titans here, but this is also a great reminder. If you can't just roll in and just say, we're the Titans, we're a powerhouse, because the margin for error, like you said, it's not as big. You have to make sure you're playing well. You have to protect your quarterback better. You have to make sure you're on your game. But this again looks like a game where Derrick Henry should be able to control the game. Set the things up for the other elements of the offense. See if the defense is taking a step forward. This will be interesting. I wonder, you know, can they be decisive and go in and just throttle somebody if they even with some of the issues they have on the injury front.
Yeah. Well, and here's another thing with Kern. I mean, not only does he punt, he's the holder. And with all the kicking
and we
lows,
saw what happened last year. It was a disaster.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's twofold with him.
Yes.
That if, you know, because, I mean, if he can't punt, he's not going to hold. So
we still don't know too much about the kicker. You know, you'd like to think that Bullock is going to be able to do the job, but this is a little wrinkle.
Yeah, so we'll see what it looks like today. I mean, maybe some of these guys that didn't practice yesterday, you know, Wednesday is if they don't practice on Wednesday, it's like, okay, all right, not the end of the world. It's Thursday and Friday that you really start. That's when you can start getting worried on what's going on.
Chase, tell everybody about BetMGM.
I will tell everybody about BetMGM because you can sign up and enjoy the thrill of victory on your very first bet. This is what you need to do. The King of Sportsbooks welcomes you to Showtime with the lock of the year, and it's tonight. You place a $10 moneyline wager on either Jacksonville or Cincinnati, and if either team scores a touchdown, you'll win $200 in free bets, regardless of your bet's outcome. All you have to do is use the bonus code 1025GAME200 when you make your first bet to take advantage of this offer. Enjoy football like never before with BetMGM's live betting options, boosted odds specials, and daily promotions at your fingertips all season long. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use that code 1025GAME200 to win $200 in free bets if either Jacksonville or Cincinnati scores a touchdown. Winning is always special, but nothing beats a W at BetMGM. New customer offer, paid in free bets. You must be 21 years or older. Must be in Tennessee. Visit BetMGM.com for a full list of terms and conditions. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Hey, if you want to win a pair of tickets to see the Predators and the San Jose Sharks at Bridgestone Arena, that'll be Tuesday, October 26th. Tomorrow is October, folks. Last day of September. All you have to do is head over to YouTube and subscribe to 1025 The Game's YouTube page. That's all you have to do. And automatically you'll be entered for a chance to see the Predators take on the Sharks. The winner will be chosen on Monday. Okay, that's all you do. Once you subscribe, email us at promotions@cromwellmedia.com with your YouTube handle. And then a winner will be chosen on Monday. So an opportunity for you to see San Jose and Nashville, Bridgestone Arena, on October 26th. And that's all you have to do. We should have David Long Jr. here shortly, inside linebacker for the Titans. You know, I think we did this half jokingly in the first segment of the show, but I'm not sure it's half jokingly, or is it? Like, what is the real interest? I mean, it is hard to try to, because everybody, hey, look, as much as, you know, it's like we're going, hey, it's life in the NFL, and it's all true. And remember when the Jets last year went to L.A. and beat the Rams, basically led the entire game? It can happen in the NFL. But even with all the caution flags out there and everybody, you know, us sitting here going, hey, don't take this for granted. You got to still play the game. Is the interest level really high? Because it is a little bit of a hard sell, right? Because everybody universally views the Jets as a team that stinks. So What do you think the level of interest? Because the ratings have been really good in this market through three games, but the matchups have been very, very attractive. Arizona, Seattle, Indianapolis. It's not hard to get people excited about that. Now you get the Jets. What do you think the interest level is with this game?
I think they might be down to just a tick, but I think this is an every week buy-in by the Titans fans. I think there's a lot of expectations. There's a lot of excitement. So I think they'll be watching for sure. This is the next chapter. You have to keep going, especially early in the season. The ratings have been good around the league too. I was reading Richard Deitch's column. Sunday night, they think will be easily the highest-rated game of the season, and the ratings thus far have been higher than any year since 2016. So there's a lot of interest right now in the NFL. A quick note, Darren, as of a couple minutes ago, Ian Rappaport has tweeted that Rashad Weaver underwent successful surgery to repair the broken fibula that we saw happened early in the game against the Colts, unfortunately. And so he will miss the remainder of the season. So, too bad.
Tough break.
Yeah. And you knew right away that it was bad when it happened. And I think by the end of the game, you knew that this was probably going to be the case. But now, according to Ian Rappaport, I don't think the Titans have weighed in yet, but I'm guessing the agent has tipped off Ian Rappaport of that.
Yeah. And David Long going to join us in just a few minutes, wrapping up some meetings this morning before they hit the practice field. So he's going to join us. Yeah, and I hate that because Weaver was – you mean you weren't seeing – you know, he had a good camp. You had good preseason. But then in the regular season, you were seeing some rookie moments and things like that. But you were seeing some potential
– yeah, some flashes of
potential
some
flashes.
Ability there.
Weaver was put on IR on Monday, I guess, or Tuesday. So he is officially on IR, as is Derek Roberson. But we
know the different versions of IR.
Yeah, but that wasn't season ending. It wasn't announced season ending.
It was just IR.
Mike Vrabel hasn't said that in a we've played all the press conferences. No. He hasn't said Rashad Weaver has been shut down for the season.
He's just on IR. They don't really specify
Roberson's one.
I'd like to
know more what's going on. Hopefully they can get him at some point. He's had trouble staying healthy, but he's another guy that has flashed the ability to get a good speed rush from the edge. Right now, they've been okay, especially with Adini, the revelation of him, and thank goodness they have him. But you just start looking at numbers. You'd never have enough guys coming off the edge. Like Harold Landry played every snap last week, and that was one of the things that they hoped to do, was maybe have somebody who could give him a blow there. But now they're really leaning on him, and we know there's issues with Dupree.
Yeah.
Right now. So who's beyond that? Like they better find some people.
Well, they've been trying for 2 years now to, you know, bring some snaps back for Harold Landry, and they can't seem to do it because they can't find somebody to help or people keep getting hurt.
So I don't know what the prognosis long term is for Roberson, but he's a guy that you could use for some help there. And thank goodness they have Adini. I'm trying to think who else plays the position.
I mean, like looking at it right now with the moves they've made on the roster, with putting guys on IR, I mean they're pretty limited. Now we'll see what Dupree does today. He hasn't been practicing on Wednesdays, but he obviously didn't play, and so there's been some setbacks. But I mean, Danny.
Well, you know they brought back Sharif Finch.
Yeah,
the other day, which when's the last time you even thought of him? Like he had some flashes a couple of years ago, but now he's got an opportunity to
make a
comeback.
That's the last time I talked about him or thought about him.
Yeah, since he left the team.
He's currently on the practice squad.
All right, let's. I think we've got David Long Jr. with us now. Titans linebacker is indeed on the line with us. David, thanks for joining us. How you doing?
I'm good. How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Doing fantastic. Nice win on Sunday over the Colts.
Yes, sir. Appreciate that.
You guys have had a nice bounce back, and that is the hard thing, I think, for fans because it's just natural, right? After one game, you see a performance like that, and everybody freaks out, and you know you're playing 17 games, And right. then you get the bounce back like you've done the next two games. But, right. yeah, but it is hard, right? I mean, it's the ebbs and flows of the NFL. Now that you've been through it and you understand it, you can't get too – you always hear that, and, you know, people in the past maybe have rolled their eyes, but now you realize it is true. Like, you can't get too high, you can't get too low.
Of course, I agree. And that's exactly what we didn't do, you know, after the first game. It's getting too low. We know what we were capable of, and, you know, we just had to, you know, put it in the past and, you know, think about going 1-0 the next week. And I think we took that approach a good way, you know, these past 2 weeks. And I think we will continue, you know, to keep growing into a, you know, a better and more developed team.
Yeah, and so with that being said, also, you can't fall into the trap, and I know you probably hear this from the coaches, you know, you can't fall in the trap of, you know, in college, while you may get that from the coaches, but you know, like in college, like if you're playing, you know, you're at West Virginia and you're playing, mm-hmm. you know, Samford or whatever, no disrespect right. to them, but you're like, you know, it's a homecoming game. It's like, we're going to win this game. Like, you right. can't do that in the NFL, right?
Because, oh, not at all.
Yeah, you'll lose.
Definitely lose because, you know, every team has players, you know, that's why they're here. So, no matter what record it is, you better come to play.
Why has it looked so good for you thus far through three games? You look very comfortable. You've had a really nice start to the season. What's working well for you, David?
I feel like, you know, it just mainly a mindset. You know, I feel like it's my third year going into the league. You know, I have pretty, you know, high expectations of myself. So, I'm just, you know, seeing stuff slower. You know, I'm just really, you know, hungry out there. I think that's the majority of what it is, you know, hungry, you know, to be a better, you know, player, you know, just, you know, to show, you know, what I'm capable of. So, yeah, more comfortable, you know, more, you know, hungry, you know, everything, you know, the opportunity is there. So, you know, I'm just taking advantage of it.
You know, guys like Jayon Brown and Rashawn Evans and Harold Landry, and those guys, you guys in that linebacker room, you're kind of all – in the same time frame, right? In the league. But when you add a guy like Bud Dupree, who's been around a little bit longer, been there, done right. it, and I get it, he's been dealing with the injury bug, and he hasn't been out there a ton, but you didn't have to be out there for you to pick his brain. Have you leaned on him at all to learn some stuff from his experience in the league?
As far as, like, you know, we play two different positions, but, you know, as right. far as, like, you know, how stuff goes in the league,
sure.
you know, what mindset approach, you know, yeah, me and Bud have raps about that, you know, but also Bud is, like, you know, a good teammate, you know, on the sidelines, on the, just making sure, you know, everybody's keeping their heads, making sure a person is feeling good about themselves when making a play, you know, anything, you know, especially when, you know, you have to, you know, I know he's working through stuff with, you know, injuries or whatever, but, you know, especially when you're not out there, you know, it's still hard for some people, you know, to still be happy, you know, and give congrats, you know, but he does that, you know, with no difficulty at all, you know, mm-hmm. clapping for his teammates. I think that's the biggest thing I take away from him.
Interesting. Now, you guys had your struggles getting to the quarterback. It's up maybe a tick, but getting off the field on third down was a real bugaboo for you guys
yeah.
last season. And obviously it was well discussed, and I'm sure you guys have discussed it a lot. That's gotten a lot better. Why has it gotten a lot better, in your opinion, getting off the field?
I wouldn't say it would be one thing. I think we have a more better understanding, you know, of what we need to do. You know, we have the pieces, you know, for it to work. And it's more about, you know, us just having that, you know, the same mindset, you know, being excited, you know, going out there on third down, you know, just having the confidence, you know, that we about to get off the field. You know, just keep reminding, you know, our teammates, you know, three and out. As soon as we get out there, three and out, let's get off the field. You feel me? Let's not be out here all day. Stuff like that, you know, keep reminding everybody, you know, is on the same page. It's hard to beat a team like that, you know. It's hard to get past a team like that once everybody, you know, is on the same page.
Talking to David Long, and as you say that, David, we're reminded about just how big the mental part of the game is. Yeah. And there was so much discussion last year. Where is it going wrong? Communication, the pass rush, all of the things that go into it, but I really hear a lot of just the belief that you guys right. have in one another right now. There's that swagger you start to get when you have success, that confidence. That's such a huge part of it.
That is. And I feel like that's what we're coming into now, you know. You know, it's still early. You know, we still don't have everybody back, you feel me? So it's still, like, you know, stuff we have to work towards. But right now I see it, like, you know, in all of us, you know, and for, you know, for the front seven, you know, the DBs making plays and, you know, people going down, Breon, Dane coming in, you know, making plays. I feel like we all have that, you know, that swagger or that confidence about ourselves, you know, and believe in one another that, you know, that the job will get done no matter who's out there.
You always hear this about development, right? The good teams develop players, and you get a lot of credit in that area. It seems like you continue to add dimensions to your game
each year.
What kind of mindset did that take? Where did you start tuning in and saying, you know what, this is where I've got to get better, and you, because you've been effective in that area.
Right. I just think, you know, being real with myself, you know, not thinking I'm too high, or, you know, not thinking I'm, you know, I don't need anything to work on, you know, going in there and watching film, you know, taking the coaching, and, you know, learning from other players, you know, I think that takes in all accounts to how to be a better, you know, person and ball player. So I think I just, you know, paid attention, you know, to what I was working on. You know, off-season, preseason, training camp, you know, just making sure that I'm not, you know, making the same mistake twice. So, you know, that's mainly been my focus. You know, I know what I'm good at, and I know what I need to, you know, work on. So I feel like that would translate it to the field, you know, as much as I'm out there.
Talking to David Long, Jr., Titans linebackers, they take on the Jets this Sunday. So traveling to New York, there's a familiar face on that roster in Corey Davis. What's that going to be like going up against him?
Oh, man, he's an awesome player, man. I love playing with him. You know, it's going to be exciting to play against him as well. So, you know, I'm looking forward to that.
Is there something extra when you go up against a former teammate, especially somebody that, you know, was here as long as he was and the type of success that he had, a first-round pick? Is there a little extra when you hit the field against him?
Oh, no, as a player myself, I think, you know, I have a lot of fun out there. I talk a lot anyway. So, it's definitely going to be fun playing against CD, you know.
What kind of conversations have you all had about, you're going up against a rookie quarterback, and, you know, he's obviously had his, I call them welcome to the NFL moments in his first few games. So what kind of things do you all talk about trying to rattle his cage a little bit?
Not much. I mean, we know he's still, you know, a nice player, and if he has a chance to make a play, he still can make those throws and stuff. So, you know, we just had to, you know, come in here, you know, they're giving us the keys, you know, whatever in practice, you know, making sure that we're coming ready to play, you know, handle anything that's thrown at us.
What is it, you know, I've asked some of your teammates this, but having Jim Schwartz in the building now is working with the defense. What has that been like from your point of view?
It's been cool. I've seen him at practice. You know, he coaches up on whatever, on things, you know, that he sees, you know, it was wrong. But I think he's been a good addition to us.
David, you grew up a Cincinnati guy. Grew up in Cincinnati. Were you rooting the Reds on? I know they were close.
Oh, yeah.
They were right there. If St. Louis didn't win like 40 games in a row, maybe they would have been in the playoffs. But
yeah, I did grow up a Red fans, though, man. It's been a roller coaster, but, you know, I'm still there.
You still follow them?
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, 82 wins. If they were over in the East, they'd be in the playoffs. They were just in the wrong division this year. By the way, I know you went to West Virginia, but there's a big one between Cincinnati and Notre Dame. How do you think that one's going to play out?
I don't know, but I'm pulling for Fickell, man. He's turned that program around. So hopefully he can go out there, you know, and get that big win.
Yeah, they are favored in that game. David, you go get a win up in New York. Thanks for the visit. Keep up the good work, and thanks for doing this.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me. Talk to you soon.
All right. That is Titans linebacker David Long, Jr. He is, by the way, I just learned that he likes to talk some stuff. I like that.
I like that.
Okay.
I feel
he's been backing it up. He's really,
he
come on.
He has.
I feel like, right, you know, if you play in the middle of the field, you know, inside linebacker, you know,
you
where he is. I mean, do you think Keith Bullock talked a little trash
May have.
I mean, you know, even safeties like Bernard – I laugh all the time. Bernard Pollard still talks trash to Nate Washington on Twitter, and they were teammates. But, I mean, it's just – that's the mindset. So I think you got to have that. You know, you don't want – especially like if Corey Davis tries to come across the middle, you don't want that to happen.
I don't know, though. I mean, I agree with you, but it's like not all of – because, I mean, Jayon – do you think Jayon talks? I don't know if Jayon – he seems kind of more of a reserved guy. Do you think Jayon talks?
I don't
smack?
Know. I mean,
what about Rashawn?
Oh, I think Rashawn does.
You think he talks?
Yeah,
talks smack.
I think he does.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like that. you know, a lot of times you see a guy that who they are off the field, their personality off the field, that's what they are on the field. But then there are some that the silent assassin types that, you know, that, that you may not think would be the trash talkers that, you know, they do when it's appropriate. They do when you least expect it, and it kind of throws you off. So
well,
I can see that.
We know in hockey the personality does not always equate to what they're like on the ice. Right?
Yeah.
Some of the nicest people I've ever met over the years in hockey were tough guys. They would suit up and go out there and try to smash somebody's head in, and they were the nicest people in the world off the ice. So it doesn't always equate.
Is Stu Grimson not a prime example? I mean, the first time I remember Stu as a player, you know, even here and elsewhere, and the first time I met him and seen all the YouTube videos, I was like, wait, this is that guy? This is the Grim Reaper?
Yeah, right. That's his nickname, the Grim Reaper. You know, yeah.
And he's one of the nicest and, you know, most intelligent individuals I've ever met.
Yep.
Like, it doesn't necessarily fit the personality. I mean, that's how they are.
It has hands that could probably palm a tire.
Meat hooks.
On a car. Oh, they are just gigantic mitts, man.
I always remember the story that Scott Walker. Remember Scott Walker played for the Predators? One of the great discoveries of their original expansion draft. Turned out to be a great player. Very, very tough. And would fight anybody. But, of course, there was everybody, and then there was guys like Stu, right, the heavyweights. And early in his career, I remember a story that Scott Walker told. He goes, you know, I was feeling feisty, and I was trying to stir it up, and I challenged Stu Grimson. And he said, Stu just looked at me, and he said, Scotty, you don't want to do this. And that was the end of that.
And did he agree?
He agreed. Okay. You know, you're right.
Well, at least he had the common sense to say, you know what, Stu, that's a really good point. I got caught up in the moment. That was stupid. You know, I apologize.
Stu has several of those stories. Yeah. I mean, my favorite is his Christoph Oliwas stories.
Oh, yeah.
Stu.
That's one of the all-time greats. Yeah. So, my team needs to win this game.
We fight.
We go now.
Yeah.
We fight now. All right.
Well, and he told that story at a function. And how it got to that point was Stu had come into the league and was trying to, you know, like cross-check him and, like, you know, trying to get him to go because coach said, hey, I need you to go, you know, pick one. And Christoph skates up to him and says, Stu, you are not, I can't say the word, but you are not a jerk. I am not a jerk. If you need to fight, you just say, Chris, we fight now. That's what they did. So
they've tried to minimize that portion of the game, like that kind of fighting, but boy, that used to be a big showcase. Let's see your big guy against my big guy. Let's just see what happens.
Darcy Hordichuk is another one. I mean, go out there and drop him right away and off the ice, a prankster, a jokester, funny guy, nice guy, and boy on the ice. He was going after somebody.
You can find videos of him that he would fight with. He would fight the other team's enforcer, and then they would skate to their respective penalty boxes, and you can hear the hey, good go. How's the fam? It's like that stuff.
Yeah, no, it didn't seem like it was ever personal. It was just like, yeah, that's just I clocked in. It's time to go.
I clocked in to clock you.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it is. So
Cody McLeod was his time here. He was like the nicest dude in the world, right?
Did you guys think that, I mean, you saw it some, but especially like when he was with the Titans, like I never thought D-Mace was that way really until he got to Baltimore. Like he kind of had a mild-mannered personality.
I wouldn't call it mild-mannered. I don't know if we knew.
It didn't.
I don't know if he talked as much, but you could always see the fire.
It was always there. The fire was always there, but
the feistiness. That's what kind of won the crowd over. You know, that's what got him noticed first in the return game, but also he started making those tough catches, those third down. He became a real trusted third down guy.
I remember he got into it with Cortland Finnegan when he was with the Ravens, and so that was one. That he and Finnegan kind of
imagine
had.
Cortland Finnegan starting out. That was another guy that just won the crowd over with his feistiness, competitiveness.
Right. And like, and you love that.
You see guys going back and forth. That's what you love about competing.
And then we always gave D-Mace crap about chirping Belichick, which was great. But
yeah, but those are all later in his
– Right, I'm talking about early on.
I mean, did he – you know, did it escalate over time? Yes, but it was still there. Don't make no mistake about it. It's not like he was this quiet, you know, mild-mannered, just to-himself guy here. Like, he didn't have any fire burning. No, he had fire in his belly here. It just really kind of – it just kept getting a little bit more over the top with the Ravens because he was – he was well known in the league, right? He was. It wasn't like he was fighting. He wasn't fighting for that spot. He wasn't fighting for time. He was established, and so he got to really show everybody, you know, his personality on the field. On the field was fierce, fierce competitor. But that was always here. I mean, it didn't start in Baltimore. It was here. It just you didn't see it at the levels that you saw it in Baltimore. But if you were around him. Like we were.
Yeah,
when
and I wasn't, obviously.
Yeah.
In those days.
I mean, I had to, going back to the streaming stores, I mean, Titans won a lot of games at home. Remember when this was a really, 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 really tough place to play? They won a whole lot of games, and I had to go in and get somebody for a national radio network from the winning locker room. So I spent most of my time in the locker room, and a guy like Derek Mason, you know, who was – great talker, the networks wanted him, and a guy that was approachable. You know, I asked him a lot, and he was always nice enough to do it. But you know, you could always still see, man. He even after the game, even after a win, like he still, that fire was still burning, man. It really was. Like I'd like to know. In fact, that the next time we have Derek on, I'd like to know, like. Did it ever go away? Like, did he wake up on Monday morning and it was like, okay, game, you know, that period is over. We got practice this week. And because even after games, you could still see he was almost still in game mode.
Yeah.
I mean, it was not gone after the game was over and the Titans had won. And he just let his guard down and he's just sitting there laughing and smiling. And, you know, it was like nothing ever happened. No, that was not the way D-Mace was.
Well,
it was almost like he was still kind of like – it was like halftime. You know, it was like you still were looking at him going, do you think you're suiting back up to go back out there? Like there was times when I looked at him like that because he still kind of had that fire in him. I mean, you could just tell he was like still thinking about – there was things going through his head about what just played out in that game.
There were two examples that I saw even after his career where it was like, okay, yeah, I mean that's who he was. One was, you know, he started here. We started Darren and Derek and then 3D. And, like, it was a joke, but it wasn't a joke that he was still mad at Floyd for cutting him. Like, it was, you know, we had fun with it, but you could tell it was still, like, you know, that was the chip. And then when we made him watch the playoff game against the Ravens, it like, he almost couldn't finish the show because he got mad. I mean, that's that fire you're talking about. Those two, you know, those examples. So, but that's why we love him. We'll get him on again soon.
I always appreciate that about D-Mace and Albert Haynesworth. They were two guys that were just fierce, fierce competitors on the field. And, you know, and then Albert's like this big, gigantic dude. And anytime I ever asked him, like, you know, you didn't know what you were getting with Albert, but anytime I ever asked him, he was always as nice as could be. I always appreciated that about him because I think early on when I would ask him, I would be like, I don't know what I'm going to get here. Like, am I going to – is this guy just going to look at me, you know, give me a side stare and be like, get the heck out of here? No, Albert was always great about it. Maybe I just always caught him at the right time. I don't know, but he was always great about doing that stuff. And I always appreciate that about him. And same with D-Mace. D-Mace was always great about doing it too because I had to take him into another room. It's not like I could sit there and hand him a phone like today. Well, one, the reception wasn't good. We always did it on a landline because the reception wasn't good. So I had to take them into another room, which was always uncomfortable, right? Like you're like, oh, yeah, you got to follow me into another room. But they were always nice enough to do it. All right, we'll come back more on the other side. But first, I'm going to talk to you about my friends at Cool Springs MD. Yes, you've heard me talk about them for years because I've been going there for years. They've been helping me for years, and they can help you too. You want to be healthier and happier like me? Go to Cool Springs MD. You want to improve your quality of life? Then go to Cool Springs MD. Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, the board-certified physician, his wife Daphne, the registered nurse, and their experienced staff can help you in a lot of things. They've got a state-of-the-art facility out there in Cool Springs at 1642 Westgate Circle. Maybe you've tacked on some unwanted pounds that you would love to get rid of. Well, weight loss management is important to them, and they've got products and programs and people that can get you back on track and headed in the right direction immediately. They take pride in that. Rejuvenation. Your appearance should be important. It's important to me, and boy, does it get harder as we age. Well, their staff could sit down and talk about PRP, hair removal, Botox, and finally, hormone therapy. That's another thing. People don't realize the older you get, most people, your levels fall. They dip. And when they dip, when they go down, it can affect you. It can affect your drive, your energy, can affect your mood. Talk to them about BHRT, testosterone, estrogen. They would love to educate you on that and look into that if that's going on with you. If you would like to learn everything about them, just go to their website, coolspringsmd.com, or you can always pick up the phone and schedule and a consultation or an appointment by dialing this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Would you like to win a pair of tickets to see the Rolling Stones at Nissan Stadium on Saturday, October 9th? Yes. Yes. The answer is yes. 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 Well, you can do that right now. Just call in to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and tell Max Hers, who's manning the board at our game studios, the answer to this question. We had David Long Jr. on. What city did he grow up? And what school did he play college football for? What city did he grow up? And where did he play in college? Answer those two questions correctly at 615-737-1025, 737-1025. You'll win a pair of tickets to see the Rolling Stones at Nissan Stadium on Saturday, October 9th. Hello. I'd love to be at that show, but there's a Preds game. So, not happening. Not happening. There'll be a Preds game tonight, by the way. 5:30 pregame, 6 o'clock puck drop down in Tampa. Predators taking on the Lightning, so keep that in mind. So, give the first one to tell Max the answer to that question, you're going to see the Stones. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, our show is presented by Creation CBD. Creation CBD products curated for life. What else stands out to you guys? We've talked about the injury list as we sit here on this Thursday, but what else stands out to you? Because I about this game on Sunday, something that I brought up yesterday is, can the Titans be opportunistic on defense? Can they force the Jets to turn the ball over? They've done a really good job of that this season. They've got a rookie quarterback. I think rookie quarterbacks this year are, what, 1-10? Something like that, their record. It's not good. And they have turned the ball over a ton. It's not just Zach Wilson. Trevor Lawrence turning it over a ton. By the way, that's their next two opponents. Rookie quarterbacks who've turned the ball over a ton. Can they get some turnovers Sunday in New York? Because that can change the complexion of a game. We know that.
We just talked about the ability for the Titans to get a better pass rush. It looks better. Now they're going to have to – we'll see about Bud Dupree, but it does look like Sharif Finch is getting asked about a lot. He may well be in the plan, especially if Bud Dupree hasn't improved much. But as you mentioned, Darren, Zach Wilson has 7 interceptions already, and he's been sacked 15 times. He's also been pressured 33 times. I think that's the second or third most in the league. So there are some opportunities out there for the Titans. I think it says a lot that the Titans are 2-1 and are way in the minus for turnovers.
Yeah.
I think that shows the makings of a good team if you can level that out some.
Well,
now, some years it just goes wrong. Like last year, everything went right for the Dolphins. They won 10 games. Largely because they had a huge plus in the turnover margin. But it's hard to count on that every year. But certainly, if you're the Titans, you don't want this trend to continue. You can't keep winning if you're in the minus in the turnovers. But if you can over – I thought it was really impressive. You beat the Colts pretty handily and were minus three. That's a sign that you've got some good things going for you.
Yeah. And it's uncharacteristic of them because, I mean, they've taken care of the football and they've gotten the football historically under Vrabel. So getting that turned around is going to be key, and it could start this weekend. I mean, I on paper, it feels like it should start this weekend. But, Darren, we talked about it yesterday of, you know, they had one pick. They've had one pick, I should say. So can they get in Wilson's head and make him pay for it? Big if.
That probably needs to be a pick six question because this, if it was ever going to happen, this is the week. I mean, the next 2 weeks, if it was ever going to happen, these are the opportunities because you've got two quarterbacks that love to give the ball away. Maybe they don't love it, but they're doing it.
And on the other side, I think I want to see the Titans take a step forward in the overall protecting of Ryan Tannehill. He's taken a lot of shots. I thought in the two wins, they did a good job of getting it under control as the game went along. They protected better as the game went forward. But you'd like to see a really solid game where he's got time to do his thing, because I think that's what we've seen. This offense is money if they can stay on time, if they get behind the chains, if they get the sacks. That's when they kind of turn into a Clark Kent as an offense. They're especially without AJ, and now we'll see about Julio Jones over the next couple of days. But if they're down a weapon or two, it's not an offense that scares you in terms of, you know, they're not going to hum it all around, go deep a bunch. If you can get them into third and long, it becomes an ordinary offense. That's true of most offenses, but, you know, if Aaron Rodgers is third and 10, you're like, well, he can still – if he's third and 15, you're still like, well, Aaron Rodgers can zip one. But not as much with the Titans, right? They're not as scary. But we know that if they get that methodical thing going, they're gonna pick you apart. So if they can protect him a little bit better, I think that's – I want to see if they can continue to progress in that area. That would be important.
Was Josh Reynolds on the injury report yesterday?
He was not.
Okay. Do we think this is the week he's in the lineup?
I thought it was interesting that they mentioned yesterday that Westbrook Akina can play all positions. Of the positions. They were naming all three. The letters, X, Y, and Z, you know, however they categorize them, because – at least the way I read him between the lines there, it looks like he's going to be a main guy on the outside at one of those spots.
He's probably going to be.
Either Jones' spot if he can't go, or across from Jones on the other side if Jones can go.
So are we pretty much saying that we think that A.J. Brown's out? Is that just kind of how we're
absolutely.
Feeling?
Absolutely. He's out.
I would say he's,
It's been reported by some of the people on the outside he's going to miss 1 to 2 weeks, which I think is smart. And a hamstring – just what we know generally about hamstrings, you can't get over a significant hamstring in a week. It just doesn't heal. You can try to play hurt, but you run a big risk of making it worse. So to me, it's a no-brainer. A.J. Brown does not play if I'm the Titans, unless it's a very mild thing. But it knocked him out. He played 10 plays, and he was out, couldn't come back in. It's significant.
Yeah.
That he doesn't. There's no way he's going to be better. If he's playing, he'll be playing hurt. And to me, this isn't the stage of the season where you do that.
I don't feel the same about Julio. I definitely don't think there's any chance A.J. Brown plays.
Yeah,
but
I agree. I'm leaning
week,
Julio could play.
I don't know. I think I'm like 50-50. I don't really know which side I'm on. I also
think I'm 51-49.
I didn't feel great about Taylor Lewan playing last week either, and he played. So, you know. Going into the week. I mean, I know once he started practicing, it was easy to. I'm saying before he started being a full participant in practice, I was like, seeing what we saw on that Sunday in Seattle, I'm like, ooh, that's not good. That's not good. But he played. So AJ, I definitely don't think is playing, but I'm not sure on Julio. I'm kind of up in the air. And if they don't play, either one of them, who's going to be stepping up?
Well,
who's going to be catching the ball?
Okay, let's say that Julio Jones plays and A.J. Brown does not. What I would envision would be a Julio Jones sparingly, because let's be honest, it's been sort of sparingly already. They've spotted him. They've been careful not to.
Sure.
He's not a play every play kind of guy at 32, and that's all right. Now, you would hope in the big moments, in the big games, it's not like it was last Sunday when he sits out. Down the road, you want him to be available when you really need him. But I would envision him. I would envision Westbrook Akini playing a very bigger role. This is going to be a big, big opportunity for him. I think Chester Rogers stays in the same role where he's been pretty effective. And then I want to see about Reynolds. Like, Reynolds should be the next guy up.
Should be.
And if he's not, if it's because there's an opportunity now, because A.J. Brown is not a special teams guy. So everybody else, like Racy McMath and those guys who are already playing special teams, they can stay in that same role. But there's an opportunity to swap out Brown and put Reynolds in. Reynolds, we know, does not play special teams. So if he doesn't get the call this week, he's not in the injury report. There's no issue with the special teams that I can see. You kind of have to ask, like, okay, what now? It's really time to get concerned that he's not in the plans.
Yep.
It looks like they might have Ferkser back too, which also gives you another guy who's going to be a target, right? He's the guy that you like to throw to.
Congratulations, Tom in Hendersonville. Tom one was just listening without being prompted. Good job by him. And two, he called in and told Max that David Long Jr. grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio, and he played college ball at West Virginia. So, Tom, go enjoy the Rolling Stones at Nissan Stadium. And as always, thanks for listening to the show. Willie, you're going to tell everybody about the Preds.
Well, as a lot of you know, if you listen to our show, I was over at the Gladiators yesterday doing a lot of the preparation that you see when you come down to Smashville, what you see on the Jumbotron.
We just said you were working on your car, sorry.
On the car?
Yeah.
Well, my car was in the garage. Mm-hmm. Parking garage over there.
We just like to make stuff up when you're out, so that's what we do.
Okay, well, let's go with that. But anyway, the Predators are cranking up. They've got a game tonight. You can hear Pete and Hal and Darren on the coverage from Tampa. And they'll play the Lightning tonight as they move forward. There's a home preseason game on Saturday night as they continue to prepare for the opener in October against the Seattle Kraken. Now, speaking of the Kraken, they're one of six opponents that come in to Smashville in the month of October. So right off the bat, you've got six games in the first month to jump in on. It's so great to have everybody coming back down to Smashville. It's going to be a great atmosphere. We'll get to see everybody, kind of pick up where we left off last year at the end of the season when the building opened back up for the playoffs. This is a fun time. Go to NashvillePredators.com/tickets. Take a look at packages that are good for you in terms of partial season tickets, full season tickets, all the benefits that you get when you're part of that loyal legion. And if you need individual game tickets, they're on sale all the way through March at Ticketmaster.com. But remember, Stadium Series in February, Nissan Stadium. The only way you're guaranteed tickets right now is if you're a member of that loyal legion. So, NashvillePredators.com/tickets or go to Ticketmaster.com. We'll see you in Smashville.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.